You may remain seated. Grace and peace to you from God our Father, and from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. What is it that people are looking for when they choose a church? I got into a conversation with my hairdresser last week. We had a conversation about church. When she found out I was a pastor, she asked me the question, "Does your church do a lot of singing?" I didn't really know how to answer her. I didn't know quite what she meant. As the conversation went on, she explained, "You see, for a while she had been attending another Lutheran church. The church she had been going to had a band and did a lot of singing. This was important to her." After talking a bit, I realized this conversation was really not about style of music or worship at all. I soon realized there was something much more fundamental about this discussion. A more important question came up, and I asked her, "Do you believe the Bible is God's word?" She wasn't quite sure how to answer. She used to think so. Now she wasn't so sure. Really, the only reason for saying yes was because she was afraid to say no. She said to me, "I'm afraid that if I don't follow the rules, God will be mad at me." The conversation was no longer about worship style or music. It had become much more fundamental. It was a question of foundation. Until we had established a common foundation for faith and life, a common foundation for how God saves us, it was meaningless to go on talking. God is building a future together with us. And what he's first concerned about is to lay the proper foundation. This conversation is about building a future that will endure the test of time and the testing of time. We turn to the last in our series of texts, which come from 1 Corinthians. Paul is rounding out his argument. He has been developing the idea that the foolish message of the cross is what unites us together in fellowship with God and with one another. We pick up at verse 9 of 1 Corinthians 3. "You are God's building. According to the grace of God which was given to me, as a wise master builder, I have laid the foundation, and another builds on it. But let each one take heed how he builds on it. For no other foundation can anyone lay than that which is laid, which is Jesus Christ. Now if anyone builds on this foundation with gold, silver, precious stones, wood, hay, straw, each one's work will be clear. For the day will declare it, because it will be revealed by fire, and the fire will test each one's work of what sort it is. If anyone's work which he has built on it endures, he will receive a reward. If anyone's work is burned, he will suffer loss, but he himself will be saved, yet so as through fire. Do you not know that you are the temple of God, and that the Spirit of God dwells in you, or better yet, among you? If anyone defiles the temple of God, God will destroy him. For the temple of God is holy, which temple you are. Let no one deceive himself. If anyone among you seems to be wise in this age, let him become a fool, that he may become wise. For the wisdom of this world is foolishness with God. For it is written, he catches the wise in their own craftiness. And again, the Lord knows the thoughts of the wise, that they are futile. Therefore, let no one boast in men, for all things are yours, whether Paul or Apollos or Cephas or the world, or life or death, or things present or things to come, all are yours. And you are Christ's, and Christ is God's." This is the word of the Lord. Let us pray. O holy God, send us your Spirit to dwell among us in the preaching of your word, to establish the right foundation, to build us up with lasting materials, that you may dwell with us forever. Amen. King Solomon was perhaps best known for his building of the temple in Jerusalem. He was famous for it. 1 Kings chapter 5 records how massive this project was. Imagine seeing the beauty of it. Imagine the effort involved in shipping cypress woods down from the coastal city of Tyre, cutting them, overlaying it with gold. Imagine walking into that building covered in refined gold as the light from the lamps flicker and reflect on the beauty. It was so glorious. It was so glorious, in fact, that it became a source of superstition. By the time of Jesus, Jews were looking at that temple, not for the glory which dwelt in it, not for the name of the Lord or the promises that he had made, but for their own outward glory. Worship had become a mere outward thing. As Jesus said, they draw near with their lips, but their hearts are far from me. The temple had been empty of its true glory. And so Jesus came to the religious leaders, warning them, "Woe to you blind guides who say, 'Whoever swears by the temple, it is nothing, but whoever swears by the gold of the temple, he is obliged to perform it.' Fools and blind, which is greater, the gold or the temple that sanctifies the gold?" It had all become outward. The temple was nothing more than an outward thing. It was relied upon not because of what dwelt in it, but because of the beauty that was outside of it. The cost, the quality, the outward membership of being a member of the people of Israel, God's chosen people. Such outward glory will never last. It's a foundation we can't rely on. If we're resting on the wrong foundation, our future is also resting on the wrong foundation. God himself had come to dwell among the people, not just in a cloud in the temple, but in human flesh. The person of Jesus Christ himself, a holy temple in which God dwelt. They were so caught up in outward things that they didn't recognize what was dwelling right among them, and they crucified him. We face dilemmas in our life. Sins that plague us, troubles that won't go away. And what's our response going to be? Do we often think to answer this or that dilemma is simply going to be to toughen up, to do the right thing, to fix it, to at least make it look a little better? The real danger out there among the Jews is also here. That we think a future together with God is founded on the right rules, the right behavior, being strong enough, saying the right thing, or doing the right thing to fix the problem. It's as if we think superstitiously about signs in our life that indicate what the Lord's will is. We begin thinking building a future together is to get rid of those things that look ugly and keep the things that look beautiful. We adorn ourselves with gold and glitter, and we're really just covering up what's within. We might rely on church membership, or swear by the title Orthodox, Lutheran, CLC. Yet all along, where's our heart? Idols so easily can take up refuge in bitterness, resentment, gossip, rudeness, hidden sins. And we miss out on the fact that God is right here among us. Yet what does God do? He works his grace. He determines to build a new future for his people, a new temple with a new glory. He would use his own son to build a foundation for your future with God. So Jesus would say of his own death, "Destroy this temple, and in 3 days, I will raise it up." He's talking about the temple of his own body, the glory of God that dwelt in him, perfect, sinless, loving his enemies. As Paul writes in Colossians, "In him dwells all the fullness of the Godhead bodily." That holy place, his body, would become the place of atonement. He himself would allow his body and soul to become defiled by an idol, by our sins. Our sins destroyed that temple. And yet this was God's choice, to lay his son in the grave that he might create a new temple. There in the grave of Jesus, God would visit his people. He'd lay a new foundation. He'd raise up a new temple and create a place of holiness where you can come, where your sins are forgiven, and where your future with God is sure. Amos prophesied, saying, "On that day I will raise up the tabernacle of David, which has fallen down, and repair its damages. I will raise up its ruins and rebuild it as in the days of old." You are that temple. We are the temple of God where we gather. And Jesus Christ, the stone which the builders rejected, has become the chief cornerstone. And so Paul writes, You are God's building. According to the grace of God which is given to me as a wise master builder, I have laid the foundation, and another builds on it. But let each one take heed how he builds. For no other foundation can anyone lay than that which is laid, which is Jesus Christ. Now if anyone builds on this foundation with gold, silver, precious stone, wood, hay, straw, each one's work will become clear, for the day will declare it, because it will be revealed by fire. And the fire will test each one's work of what sort it is. If anyone's work which he has built on it endures, he will receive a reward. If anyone's work is burned, he will suffer loss, but he himself will be saved, yet so as through fire. That is, he will be pure, his works will be purified, and only that which endures in Christ Jesus will remain. Do you not know that you are the temple of God, and that the Spirit of God dwells in you? Or better yet, the Spirit of God dwells among you. If anyone defiles the temple of God, God will destroy him, for the temple of God is holy, which temple you are. As a wise master builder, Paul laid the foundation, a foundation that will stand the testing of time, that will stand the testings that you go through. The foundation must be secured, because there's no other foundation that anyone can lay than the grace and mercy which come to us in Christ Jesus. At the same time, we recognize churches throughout the world teach different things and practice their faith in different ways. We recognize there are other synods and other Christians out there that too are building on the same foundation, despite what might be errors or false teachings. If pastors and teachers continue to preach Christ and Him crucified, if that central elements of the Christian faith are still being confessed, salvation endures, despite the faulty materials. We confess this in our statement of faith and purpose. We joyfully acknowledge that the Lord knows His elect children, even though some are members of false teaching churches. However, by their membership, they're identifying with and promoting error by which the salvation of souls is threatened. We pray that all who believe in the Lord Jesus may be preserved in this faith and to their end receive by His merits and mercy the crown of eternal life. We acknowledge then that not everybody uses the same materials as they build a fellowship, as they build a future together with God. The foundation of Christ is what preserves the fellowship of salvation. Throughout all churches, all denominations, it's the foundation of Christ. Grace alone, through faith alone, based on Scripture alone, that builds a future with God. And at the same time, Paul is giving a warning. Let each one take heed. So easily, idols creep in and invade God's holy place. So easily, they threaten the very foundation on which we stand. So easily, sin or false teaching can be left unaddressed or ignored. and the building begins to crumble. Do you not know that you are the temple of God, and the Spirit of God dwells among you? What was it that made the Temple of Solomon holy? What set it apart from all other temples? Was it the gold, the craftsmanship, the cost, the quality? Was it any physical thing at all? We read in chapter 7 of 1 Kings how the project was complete and there was one thing left to do. The priests approached carrying the Ark of the Covenant. The Ark of the Covenant contained God's Ten Commandments. It was a symbol of that covenant God had made with them on Sinai, a sign of the promises to go with them, to protect them, to build a future with them. Four priests approached that holy place with those golden doors. They enter with the Ark of the Covenant. The tribes of all of Israel are gathered around, singing psalms of praise, sacrificing lambs for that blood of atonement that takes away sin. It was a day of feasting, and there they enter into the most holy place, into the holiest of holies with the Ark itself, and place it under the wings of the cherubim. As the priests exit, the place becomes filled with the glory of the Lord. A cloud fills the temple so that they can no longer be in there. The holiness of the temple was not the cost, the quality. It didn't have anything to do with our earthly efforts or works. It was simply by God visiting his people and making his place among them. By the sacrifices given, where God would meet with us and forgive sin. This is what concerned God, that we would recognize his presence, his sacrifice, his forgiveness, and that we would come in faith. This is a future together with God. He had made his dwelling place here, purging you of your sins, drawing you into his holy presence through Jesus Christ, his work. You are cleansed of all your sins. Your guilt has been taken away. And now God is with you, among us, working in our lives day by day to bring us to a blessed future with him forever. So my hairdresser asked the question, does your church do a lot of singing? As the conversation went on, I learned a little bit more. She explained more about her background. When she was young, she attended a Catholic grammar school. And growing up, she had turned to the Mormon faith. She became a Mormon and was practicing the Mormon religion for many years. Now she was getting back into the Christian faith. It was no wonder that she looked at the Bible as nothing more than a bunch of rules. It was no wonder she was confused about whether the Bible was really God's word or not. She was building on a foundation that was more about outward things, earthly works, than it was about the lasting work of Christ. It was no wonder she was longing for something more upbeat, a worship service with a band. She had no idea what it meant for Christ to dwell among us in his word. I tried to, and probably failed, to explain. The reason we believe the Bible is God's word is because it proclaims the resurrection of Christ, because it reveals the salvation which comes by God's grace and draws us into his holiness. And so let us all build together on a foundation that will last, a foundation built on Christ as we bring our sins to his throne and receive his forgiveness, as we gather together a fellowship made holy by the work of our Savior. Christ is made the sure foundation, Christ our head and cornerstone, chosen of the Lord and precious, binding all the church in one. Holy Zion's help forever and our confidence alone. Amen.